Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. 520-9710. 888-520-9710. The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show.
We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. What'd you do? Bring in an ally, you two?
Yes, I did. Our special guest, Miles L. Berman, here.
He's our representation.
Yes, he's the Top Gun DUI defense attorney. And because you're here, Miles, can I get you a beer or something?
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Let me think about it for a little bit. I see him here. There
he is. Got a couple beers for you.
I got two cold ones.
He's on the clock.
You don't mind if I have one?
No, please do.
One thing about Miles, that he's been around since we've been around, really, since we went on the air the first year, 8-9 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Miles was there sponsoring the show and sponsoring the station. He's been one of those guys that's always been there, even in the good times and the bad times, right now with the economy. Miles is still advertising on the station,
and
which is awesome. Which means you're doing well. I mean, obviously, when the times are tough, people start drinking more and doing silly things. So the DUI defense attorney is making some cash.
Yeah, it's the economy has affected everybody. And what we're seeing is the number of arrests are staying constant. But the people who are getting arrested, many of them are losing their jobs or have lost their jobs. And what's most important now to get good representation is that when the economy gets better, you don't want to have a DUI on your record if you can avoid it.
And if you're on the bubble right now at work, the last thing you need is DUI.
Yep.
Yeah, that's another thing too. I mean, I think everybody's kind of concerned about their jobs and no matter what industry that they're in. So if, you know, getting arrested for DUI, I'm sure, is a basis for letting somebody go.
So I'm going to pull you into the conversation that we're having because you're doing well. And maybe there's family members in the Berman extended family that aren't doing as well. And so Christmas is like, okay, there's Uncle Miles, and he's always loaded because he's the big lawyer. He's the big attorney. All right, and maybe there's somebody in your family who's not making that much money. Would you go ahead and spend money on their kids and not worry about what those parents thought? Like, you're not going to embarrass them because they're having a hard time this Christmas. Would you be Uncle Miles, who's always brought Christmas to the table?
Yeah, you know, fortunately, in my family, everybody seems to be doing okay. But obviously, if there's anybody who is in need, you know, I'd be the first one to help out.
Frosty!
Frank was leading the witness here. Now there's something he left out. In Miles's family, if your family was like my family, here's what you would find. You would find you had a sibling who was married, making no money because in real estate they're not selling in Florida or anywhere. Married to someone who's also making no money because it's a related industry, so they have no money, and they have two underage children who they can't buy gifts for this year. And they've said to tell my mom that this year, no Christmas. We're just going to be together and have the fellowship of it all. Now, they've set the rules down because my sister and her husband cannot give gifts to their children this year. Now, for me to show up as Uncle Moneybags with a box full of gifts makes them look bad to their kids and to the rest of the family. So I'm going to honor what they said, even though I could show up because I have a little money. I'm not going to, because I don't want to make my sister and her husband look bad in front of their children. Now do you understand why I could, but I choose not to, give gifts this year?
Sure, that makes sense. But did you talk to your family about that? Did you talk to your sister and
My mom has swapped emails. But if I even bring the subject up to my sister herself and her husband, even that is very touchy very insulting to bring up.
Well, here's the flip side. You know, they may feel that at least Uncle Frosty is going to be here with gifts.
Yes.
And the kids actually may get disappointed if you don't do
something. The kids don't care where the gifts came from. And like I was saying, I don't know if you were listening, but I was saying that he should just send them and just put from Santa or put from, you don't have to say that they're from him. Just say, oh, look, you know, I mean, keep
and
it
really
like that.
And really, the gifts, Frosty, are the only reason those kids like you.
True.
Because they don't even know you. You live out in California. They live in Florida. The only time they see you is you're coming in the door with bags of gifts. If you don't come in the door with bags of gifts this time, it's like, well, what the hell is he doing here? He's that weird uncle
Are you going to Florida?
Lips.
Yeah, I am, just for Christmas, like 3-4 days.
Yeah, so you're probably going to feel uncomfortable walking in empty-handed.
I got you.
So Miles, you guys are all suggesting that they're anticipating, expecting, and needing my gifts.
Yeah.
That I am the savior for Christmas.
Well, little kids want Christmas presents, and if their parents can't do it, wouldn't you at least want to give Christmas to those little kids?
When I was a kid, brother and sister, it was relatively lower middle class family, a great family. I'm just saying they were both school teachers in Indiana, didn't pay any money there. So, you know, we barely got by. So we didn't have lavish gifts for Christmas, but we did have something. Now I'm picturing being back in that environment where we had nothing, where times were so tough, where mom and dad, the school teachers, could not give any of the kids gifts. Yet my rich Uncle Art would show up.
He was your real dad, though, right?
Maybe.
So you're projecting how you feel on your sister's kids. Where, but they may not feel the same way. Where they aren't used to it.
I understand how I would feel in that situation, so it's okay to project it. I would feel bad for my mom and dad if my uncle had showed up and showed them up so with all these gifts that they couldn't give their own children.
You know, actually, this is one of the advantages of being Jewish.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a little bit of a difficulty relating. I think I can understand what you're saying.
I thought you were Italian.
We didn't really swap Christmas gifts.
I've been here this whole time, and he's like, I don't really care.
I went along with it pretty good, though.
You really did.
Didn't I have you fooled?
Yeah, wow.
The Bermans are only doing 4 days of Hanukkah this year.
Did you, of course.
Where in Florida do they live?
The poor part.
Anywhere near Orlando where you can take the kids to Disney World?
Oh, that's good.
I mean, you can do something without gifts. You can do something different, and you can still accomplish the same thing.
You know, a short answer to that is they go there all the time.
Yeah, I guess if you live there, that would kind of suck.
Yeah, it's like...
Well, how can they go there all the time with no money?
Well, how about a football game? There's Tampa Bay. There's the Dolphins.
Well, I don't know if they're into that.
I don't know. Why are you even going back then? I thought you always went back to look.
He doesn't care about football.
I don't even know what team.
In other words, there's something else that you can do besides gifts. That's all that I was.
Okay, so you're on my side then. I shouldn't show up with store-bought expensive gifts.
If you're feeling it, then there's some justification for it. So doing nothing probably wouldn't be the right thing, but doing something other than gifts would be.
But for the last time, I don't know how many years? How old is the oldest? You said she's almost ready to go to college?
She's in high school, so she's like 16, 17.
So for 16 years.
A car is appropriate.
Yeah. Oh, I like the way Miles is thinking.
Me too. Uncle Miles, I like.
Then if she ever gets a DUI, she can call Miles.
Right.
Perfect. It all comes together.
No, my family doesn't drink.
Because their livers have been taken out.
You know what's so funny, though, since Miles L. Berman is here and we learned, like you said, he's been a friend of the show for, what,
forever.
Nine years or something. And every time I'm watching a TV show, whether it's CSI Miami or one of those, you know, Law and Orders, and somebody gets pulled over and they've been drinking, they're like, sirs, please step out of the car, and they do the test. I'm yelling at the TV, you don't have to, they don't have to do that. Do they not know they don't have to do that?
You actually yell at TV that?
I do, like a fool.
You've gotten very educated, Heidi, over the years.
I know.
And yes, I do remember when we met for dinner at a Japanese restaurant, a sushi place.
Studio City.
In the valley, right?
Yeah.
Before you guys even went on the air.
That's right.
Or about that time. So, yeah, it's been a while.
Way back.
Yeah.
So, your number, of course, is 888-4 Top Gun.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
888-4 Top Gun.
Did you say the website too?
No, I don't have that.
You don't have a website.
Isn't it topgundui.com?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, thanks. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm guessing you should have that number tucked away in your billfold or in your glove box, because if you're pulled over and you're going to start panicking, and not that you've actually had any of the drink, you may not be able to regurgitate the number. So write it down, stick it somewhere where it's there if you need it.
You know what this station has done for me, and for, forget me, for the driving public. We have been for years now getting calls from people as they're getting pulled over by the police to let, you know, to contact us. Of course, you know, they actually don't get through at that time, but nevertheless, people are calling to find out what they should do or seek legal representation or at least opinion. And that's directly attributable to your show and your popularity in the station as well.
And what's so great is that, you know, there are a lot of people, obviously, and you hear it, people go, how could you? But drinking and driving is bad. And we all agree with that. But I think we're not even talking about a fall down drunk kind of person. I mean, you're talking about, we go to sushi, and I was just having sushi last week, and, you know, you go, I have a little bit of sake, and I have, you know, two beers with my sushi dinner, and I drive home. Well, I'm fine, but maybe I'm not fine, and then I get pulled over, and it's nice to know that there's somebody on my side, and I can pick up the phone and call 888-4-TOP-GUN, and I got Miles that's going to go, I'll handle it. Don't worry about it. Just don't say anything. I'll drink to that.
You know, what's interesting is that I don't think any of us knows when we're at a .08.
Right.
And
you feel fine? I was two beers at sushi.
It's an arbitrary number. It's a political number. It's not going to get any lower.
Right.
The liquor industry is and the hotel industry and the bar industry and many industries are dependent upon the alcohol that's bought and served and sold in the United States. But, you know, it's such a sometimes a nebulous concept to determine whether or not you're under the influence.
Right.
Now, there are times when, of course, when you're cross-eyed and you can't stand up straight. And
it's obvious.
You know,
and there's people's tolerance as well, right?
I mean, it's like everybody's different.
If you're
yeah.
a functioning alcoholic.
Everybody, and they actually require less. Functioning alcoholics require less to drink in order to maintain their state of you know, the alcohol in their system.
Mm. Does the penalty go up if the amount of alcohol in your system is higher?
Yes, it does.
Oh.
It does by way of programs. 0.15, 0.20 is jail time. Those are the two right now. In some states, they have what's called extreme DUI. I think it's Arizona where if it's a 0.18, you're looking at 90 days in jail.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
So it's very... It varies from state to state, but the higher the alcohol level is,
what's the highest alcohol level that you've had to represent?
Probably a 0.43.
Oh,
isn't that
God,
difficult
no.
to win? I mean, that's probably a case
well,
that's really challenging.
Isn't that difficult to win?
You know,
not with
here.
Miles L. Berman.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's define what a win is. Let's say that you have your second offense, and the second offense is a 0.15 or a 0.10, whatever it is, and the first offense occurred 5 years ago. So that first offense is now part of this case. But we get that second offense reduced to either non-alcohol related offense or a lesser charge where there's no jail. I mean, so a success is defined, we define a success by a dismissal, an acquittal, or reduction of DUI charges. So oftentimes, even with a first offense, you know, DUI with an accident and people are injured or you're seriously injured, but, you know, you're able to resolve the case without any jail or prison time. So, you know, it just depends on whose ox is being gored, so to speak.
Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman is with us. Let's say someone had an incident years ago. It could be 5, 8, 10, 12 years ago. Drunk driving, whatever. Now they get a ticket in 2008, 2009. Is that old one still going to affect the recent one, or is there a time that passes where it doesn't count anymore?
Right now, it's 10 years. It stays on your record for 10 years, but it used to be 7 years, and they changed that about 3 years ago, and they wanted to make it lifetime.
Can you get grandfathered in?
So they,
they changed that 3 years ago, but I think
and so they compromised and made it 10 years. Now, there's other states, and it's on my website, at one of my blogs, that I think it's Alabama or Arkansas, or one of those states over there where they are now making it lifetime. So your third offense lifetime is a felony. In California, eventually it will be lifetime. So if somebody had a DUI 20 years ago, they get arrested 10 years from now, that 30-year, if they still have that record will be, the prior DUI will be used.
Now, Miles, I need to pick up the phone and call you. Let's say I get pulled over and I'm a 0.05. So 0.08 is legally intoxicated, impaired driving and all that. But 0.05, what would they do to me?
You know, there's two ways in which they charge somebody for DUI. One is just DUI, generic driving under the influence.
Okay.
And that could be a 0.05.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And then there's driving with a 0.08 or greater. So, yes, we've seen people prosecuted under a 0.08. You know, 0.05, 0.06, 0.07.
So either way, call you, let you handle it.
There's all kinds of problems that can occur if it's not taken care of. And you can't rely on the prosecution to make sure that your rights are protected, although they're supposed to, and I suppose they try to, but we've seen they want to go to trial in cases where it's 0.07, 0.08.
See, I don't really understand that, Miles, because if the law says it's 0.08, and as Heidi says, let's say you had one glass of wine, you're a 0.04.
But I had an empty stomach or something.
They pulled you over maybe because, maybe you swerve because you're reaching for the radio knob, but in fact, for whatever reason they pulled you over, they had a reason, but they did. But you're not inebriated beyond the point of that 0.08 or controlling the car. So either the 0.08 should or should not be the benchmark. If it's 0.08, yet they can still arrest you for 0.04, 0.05. What's the point of the 0.08?
Well, I'll tell you what the point is. There are two issues. First, the breath test or blood, but the chemical test, the breath test is usually after the arrest. If it's on the scene. By the way, if you're over 21 and you get pulled over for DUI and they want you to take a portable breath test before arrest, you absolutely have the right to refuse, and we recommend you do that. Now, oftentimes they have a breath test that's taken an hour later, and so they say, like, that's an 08. They'll try and relate it back to the time of driving or even 07 or 06, And at the time of driving, they're going to say you were a .08. That's the first dynamic. The other dynamic is, I think the prosecutors may have been listening to this radio show and all the times I've been on the air where I believe that breath testing is based on voodoo science, and so I don't trust the reliability of the results, and so therefore maybe they don't. Okay, so it's an 07, but really we know, we've heard it's not that reliable, so they're going to think it's an 09.
Of course,
that's tongue-in-cheek, but I actually do believe that breath tests are based on voodoo science.
You know, there's something else you just said that bothers me. Frank actually
only one
did,
thing.
Well, no. This is something.
The fact
really,
that he should buy gifts for Christmas.
Yeah, no, he's pissed.
Frank did something nice for me about 2-3 weeks ago, and I rarely compliment him, but we met a happy hour after the show, and he called me a cab, which I thought was a wonderful thing to do. I'd only had a couple margaritas.
Oh, come on.
Okay, 3 or 4 margaritas.
Well, I tell
he
the whole story.
Stand up. I'd carry him out of the bar.
I probably would have walked home or slept it off in the car in the parking lot. I wouldn't have driven like that, but I would have gone to the car and gotten in it, which I could be arrested for that, right?
Yes. You know, it depends. Again, on the website, we have answering that question at topgundui.com. But if you're sleeping in the car, the best thing to do is don't put the keys in the ignition. Even lock the keys in a trunk. Put them in the glove box. Get in the back seat. Don't be anywhere behind the wheel. And you still can be arrested for DUI if a cop comes up on a scene. Although it's unfair. It really is. If a guy's or woman are driving and they realize they've had too much to drink, they want to pull over, they're doing the right thing, they should be able to sleep it off. The cases can be won, but you're still subject to being arrested. So you can't, the best thing to do is what you did, Frank, was to call a cab for Frosty. I don't know how the cab driver reacted when Frosty was in the car, but that's a different story. In any case, it's always best. And nobody wants drunk drivers on the road. We don't want drunk drivers on the road. Nobody here does. I don't. So the fact of the matter is that in Southern California, with the lack of public transportation, people are going to drink and drive.
The thing that bothers me is, let's say Frank showed up at the happy hour, and let's say I just had one, not 5 margaritas, but one. And then, because I live exactly 3-minute drive away, I had another one for the road and chug it. So when I get home, about 15 minutes later, that's when it hits and I get a nice buzz on my patio. Now, if the cops pull me over for whatever reason and wait an hour before they test me, it then hits me and makes me look like I was driving drunk. But in fact, no, that was my buzz from when I get home.
That's his patio buzz.
Yeah, you know, you're pretty accurate as far as how long it takes alcohol to get through the system. Sometimes it actually takes longer. It could be anywhere between, 1 to 3 hours, depending on what you've had to eat.
Right.
Depending on what you had to drink, depending on how you drank. But the state takes a position that once you've had something to drink, within 15 minutes, it's already in your system, which with science refutes that, but that's what the state's scientists oftentimes say.
Mm. Now, you, Miles L. Berman, you've been fighting DUI cases all over Southern California, not just in Los Angeles, but you've been in L.A. County, Orange County, Riverside, Ventura, San Bernardino, San Diego, and Santa Barbara, and that brings me to this. Recently in Santa Barbara, you've probably heard that Heather Locklear got pulled over.
Yes.
And prosecutors in Santa Barbara have charged her with misdemeanor driving under the influence, citing prescription drugs.
Right.
So I guess the CHP said Locklear showed obvious impairment when an officer noticed her car parked on a highway and blocking a lane in Montecito. That's back in September. But that alcohol was ruled out. So they get her out of the car. They're like, okay, breath test. She probably took it and there was nothing. And then she was tested for drugs at the station. I don't know, what were they testing? What drug test can they give you at the station?
Well, what they do at the station, or sometimes on the street, they have what's called a DRE, drug recognition expert. And they come and they take a look at you. They take your vital signs. They look at your tongue to see if there's any film on it. They look at your eyes. They take your heartbeat, your pulse. And then they have sometimes what's called a pupillometer. A pupillometer is nothing but a cardboard piece of paper with little holes in it, and they put it up next to the eye to see how big the pupils are and relate that. So if they're dilated, there's an indication that there may be some type of narcotic or some type of drug involved. But then there's a chemical test, usually a blood or a urine test. And so in that particular case, there was, I think there was a blood test, and then they had to wait to get the results of the blood. blood test.
But you can't drive on prescription drugs.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you can.
That's what they're getting her for.
Yeah. Now, yes. If the bottle says and the doctor says you can't drink or you can't drive after you've taken this
or operate heavy machinery.
If it makes you drowsy, then you shouldn't be driving. So you don't have the state's position is you don't have the right to drive after you've taken prescription drugs, especially if you're told not to.
And Miles, even the over-the-counter contact cold tablets, Robitussin probably says that.
You know, in this day and age, it's anything and everything. And in order for them to make the conviction or get the conviction, they have to correlate or relate with what the person had ingested to causing impairment. Now, there's problems with that. But yes, anything that... booze is sold over the counter.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's really no distinction. Anything, you know, pretty much anything can impair somebody.
Can you stick around for a bit, Miles?
I'd be happy
if you'd like to call 888-520-9710 with any legal questions for Miles L. Berman, Top Gun DUI defense attorney. Do that. Give us a call, or you can email your questions to letsbefrank971@msn.com. We'll be right back with the man, Miles L. Berman. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. With us, our old friend, with us since the early days of the show, from the beginning, charter member of the advertisers who have supported us. We thank you for that. From the beginning, he's been here, and he still is. Miles L. Berman, that's Top Gun DUI defense attorney, Miles L. Berman. Write his number down in case you need it. That's 888-4- Top Gun. That's a number four. That's 888-4 Top Gun.
And it's Miles with a Y, by the way.
Oh yeah, a lot of people probably make that mistake.
M-Y-L-E-S.
I got a reason to say. I won't say it on the air, but I got a reason why it's Miles with an I. Excuse me, Miles with a Y.
Have another beer, Miles.
No, I should.
I know. Our TopGunDOI.com as well. So.
And we can take calls if you want. 888-520-9710. This is your chance to get it from the straight from the horse's mouth about drinking and all that if you're pulled over. Bob in Newport Beach, what's your question?
Hi, I'd like to know if I don't submit to any tests, urine, any of that stuff, what's going to happen to me?
Well, you would think that there wouldn't be any evidence against you. And, you know, it's more than just a test. The field sobriety test, and I assume your question is a broad question, so I'll answer it broadly. Field sobriety tests are completely voluntary. You don't have to do them. You don't have to tell the officer where you're coming from or where you're going to. The only thing is if you're under 21, you need to take a portable breath test. Otherwise, you lose your license for a year. But what we didn't talk about was the DMV side. So you sound like you're older than 21, so I'm going to answer it assuming that you're older than 21. You got two cases. The one will be the criminal case in court, and the other one will be with the DMV. It's much easier to beat a DUI case, obviously, if there's no evidence. Even if there is evidence, it's still, you know, we're still able to beat DUI cases. With the DMV, if you, don't take a breath test or a blood test, the penalties can be greater if they decide to suspend. And so that's basically the difference. And there's no, you mentioned urine tests. We were so successful in getting urine tests, we being our office as well as other defense lawyers, getting urine tests, getting clients acquitted that took a urine test, that generally isn't an option. It's just blood and breath.
Okay.
Miles, you can get both from Frosty because his gums are so bad.
Well, that's funny, isn't it?
He just blows breath and blood.
Let's stop chopping.
If you want a urine sample, just wring out my underwear. So, Miles, if
put
you...
a semen sample, turn it around.
Oh, Frank. Oh,
oh, my God. It's the holidays, boys. Come on. We have company.
If
Jesus.
At the scene of the pulling over, you say... call Top Gun rather than take the field sobriety test. When they take you downtown to the big house, to the cop station, they're going to offer you, or they're going to insist on a test there. You have to take that one, right?
Well, the law requires you to take a test, and we've all agreed that we're going to take a test. And there is something else that's coming up after the first of the year, which is similar to what we're talking about as far as in theory. When we get our driver's license, we impliedly consent. We agree that we're going to take a chemical test, a blood or a breath test, if we're arrested for DUI. Now what's happening is when we get our driver's license, we're going to have to say that we've also been warned that if we go drink and drive or drive under the influence and we go out and kill somebody, that we can be charged with murder. And so that this is something new, and it's very dangerous. Mm. It used to be before where you couldn't charge somebody with murder unless you had the intent to kill somebody. Then they came up with, there's a case that was decided, and it was a novel legal theory that was held up by the California Supreme Court, which is now also followed in almost every other state, that if you've had a prior DUI and therefore you went to an alcohol class and you were there given the dangers, taught about the dangers of drinking and driving, and then you go out and kill somebody, they can imply that you had malice. They can imply that you had knowledge about the dangers. Now, anybody...
So then that's like premeditated, and it's even worse.
This is what, yeah, this is what the government is having us do, that when we get our driver's licenses after the first of the year, we can be charged with murder if we go out and kill somebody, even on a first offense. And what's unfortunate is that just because somebody gets involved in an accident, if they're under the influence, they're going to be the focus of the case. And if they're seriously injure somebody or not seriously injure somebody or even kill somebody, even though sometimes accidents happen where a person is driving and they run into the street, or a person runs a stop sign or a red light and you're under the influence and you hit them. It's very, very dangerous. And that's why the best thing to do is not to drink and drive.
Yeah, that's what I was always, no one ever thinks about, all right, I've had a couple, I can make it home. But what about just the accident? The guy who hits you and then gets out of the car and you smell like beer, and then he calls the cops and they show up, and it really, the accident wasn't even your fault, but now it is your fault because you're the one who had a couple beers, even though that person ran the red light or did whatever, right?
The only reason why, in my mind, I've been doing this so long, the number of people who are stopped and arrested for DUI or investigated for DUI or even given tickets is directly related to the number of police officers on the street. It is almost impossible to drive any more than a block without violating some type of vehicle code violation. So if there's more cops on the street, more law enforcement on the street, there'll be more people arrested, less people, probably less people drinking and driving.
There are a lot of cops in Burbank. What's a part of LA where there's
those
not
bastards.
Many cops? I'm over there.
Now I got a question for you. Are you familiar with the type of breathalyzer that the CHP and the LAPD use?
Yes, there's many different kinds.
Is it the Intoxilizer 5000? You familiar with that particular brand?
I am.
I bring this up.
I actually, go ahead.
No, you actually what?
I have one, but not a 5000. I have a different machine in my office.
Well, here's a defense that's being used by a lawyer in Connecticut. His client was pulled over and had a blood alcohol level that was based on this Intoxilizer 5000 breathalyzer of...
This is what Orange County used to use.
0.18. And in Connecticut, 0.08 is the legal limit. He blew a 0.18. And this guy, Tyrone Brown, happens to be a black dude. And his lawyer is saying that the Intoxilizer 5000 is a racist machine.
What?
What?
Have you heard this defense?
No.
Yeah,
I'll tell you though go ahead. If he puts his logic in there, I mean, I can give you what I think the logic would be.
This is interesting.
He's saying it's basically KKK in a box, this Intoxilizer 5000. He claims that
it's actually, well, I don't know the breakdown of races, but, you know, there's a lot of white people who get arrested for DUI.
Well, he's saying that this thing only registers well for white people, because he's saying that the lung capacity of a black man is 3% smaller than a white man, and therefore black man's test results vary from the sobriety standards set by the device.
Who knew?
So this guy, he has a doctor who's a lung physiologist, and he's examined research, and he's willing to testify in this Tyrone Brown's case, saying that he has determined that the Intoxilizer 5000 does not effectively test the blood alcohol content of black men.
Well, you know, I assume that that's where you're going with
that.
That breath test machines, and the way the law is, it treats all of us equal. All four of us in here don't have the same lung capacity, don't have the same metabolism, don't have the same physiology. As a matter of fact, I don't mean to point to you, Heidi, but sometimes when women have their period,
right,
their body temperature.
You can tell she was on the thing.
Well, no, I mean, she's kind of, I don't want to talk, you know, frosty, women have a period.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their body temperature is elevated.
Yeah. So, no, go ahead. This is interesting.
So, yeah, but the machine, and the lawyer is correct, that the machine does not take into account the individual characteristics of the person who's blowing into the machine. I have not heard, but Well, actually, I did 2 minutes ago. I just heard that, that the lung capacity of blacks is I think you said 3%.
3% less.
Yes, 3% less. But it doesn't surprise you. Well, that may be a, there may be a study. I'm not going to go any further with this argument. Howard Cosell and other people got kicked off the air for, you know, for going, going further. But I do believe that there's merit to the argument that at least the, his particular client is, does not fit within the data that was inputted into the machine or calibrated into the machine for the lung capacity of his client. Hmm. That I would have no problem
with. Yeah, so if we get up, you know, we're all different. We all have one, let's say we all have one shot of whiskey. Well, Frank hasn't eaten at all today.
And then Frosty's weight.
I had breakfast and then I had oatmeal for lunch. And Frosty maybe hasn't eaten anything, but he's heavy. And then you, whatever your story is. So we've all had the exact same amount of alcohol and we're probably all going to blow completely different numbers.
Well, that's the problem with this being so objective as opposed to subjective. You're absolutely right. The three of us or the four of us could be sitting here having the same, you guys are a little bit ahead of me, I see, but have the same amount of a beer or alcohol or whatever it is. And by the way, one 12-ounce can of beer equals one 4-ounce glass of wine, which also equals one shot and a quarter, 1 ounce and a quarter, or one shot of 80 proof liquor, which is also on my website, topgundeer.com.
And we've had that argument before, me and Frank. I swear you get drunker on whiskey, but I guess you
know. No, no. As a matter of fact, wine is very potent.
Right.
You know, you're talking, you would drink 12 ounces of beer as opposed to 4 ounces of wine. And most people don't drink 80 proof liquor straight.
No.
So it's usually mixed
and
the glass itself. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you could end up with, unless it's a double or triple, you could end up with maybe 6 ounces of liquid in a 80 proof liquor. But yeah. 4 ounce glass of wine, you know, that's more. And women drink, for some reason, women like drinking wine.
I'm a wino.
Yeah. Bottle of night.
Bottle of night. I don't drive, though. I stay home and then pass out on the couch.
Miles L. Berman is with
us. She drives everyone crazy when she's drunk.
Get a little loud.
Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman. Now, you've been our guest several times through the years. I'm for those of you who have not heard this question asked before, check out this morsel of knowledge. When you are pulled over and they give you the eye exam, they look at your eyes. For those who haven't heard this, Miles, tell us what they're looking for. And tell us why that's not necessarily a reliable indicator of whether or not you're inebriated.
What they're looking for is what's called horizontal gaze nystagmus, which is also known as HGN. And what they're looking for is the involuntary jerking of the eye when they follow the, when the eyeballs follow a stimulus passed across their face to the left or to the right. There's many different reasons for the appearance of horizontal gaze nystagmus to be present. First, it's present, and there's studies that show it's 4% of the population. And that may not seem like a lot, except
if
you're one of the four.
If they're just sober, you have it.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Or alcohol free. And 4% of the population has it, and that means that, you know, any one of us could be one of the four. Also, police officers, when they have their overhead lights going, the strobe lights or the overhead lights often also create the appearance of horizontal gaze nystagmus. So, you know, there's a couple of, and there's other reasons, but the bottom line is that all at most, all that means is the person has the presence of alcohol. Now, what the cops like to do is correlate when the eyeball jerks at the angle that the eyeball jerks to determine, correlate that to what the alcohol level is. That's such nonsense. There's absolutely no way that there's any accuracy in the courts of hell that there isn't any accuracy to that. But, you know,
why do it? Why do they waste their time doing it when they know it's not going to hold up?
Because not everyone uses Miles L. Berman.
Well,
you know,
true,
actually, for us, it shows that the client is sober because the person has to keep his head perfectly still. And when they're standing and doing this test, they're not swaying, they're not weaving, they're not going in a circular motion. That's consistent with somebody who's totally sober.
Okay. So it could actually help.
Not to mention they can follow the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that if the cop asks you to do the alphabet, what they're really
forwards or backwards?
Well, I couldn't do it.
Z-Y-X-W-B-U-T-S-O-Q-P-O-N-M-L-K-J-H-F-E-D-C-B-A.
Sing it.
I was trying a case, not to cut you off, but I was trying a case once, and cops require you, when they have you do the alphabet, don't sing it. And the reason is, it makes it more difficult. So I was arguing this to the jury about how the officer tried to make it more difficult for my client. And by the way, did you know that the song for the alphabet is the same as Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star? And ever since, it just hit me while I was doing that. And I started singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star to the jury. And, you know, and they're shaking their head. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I thought this
is before they acquitted my client.
Right. Okay, good.
I thought maybe it was a trick question, because if the cop says, do the alphabet backwards, maybe they're trying to trick you into saying, I can't do it sober.
No.
Which is an acknowledgement that you're drunk.
You know, I hear stories about it, and I don't recall if I've ever seen a case where they say do the alphabet backwards, but I've heard people say they had to do that. But when they wanted to do the alphabet, it's to see whether or not they could do the alphabet, and somehow there's a correlation between saying the alphabet and being under the influence. Now, switch that to walk the line or touch your finger to nose. I have never in my entire life, and I'm going to look again next time I'm on the freeway, driving on a freeway, looking to my left, looking to my right, and see if there's anybody there with their eyes closed, head tilted back, touching their finger to nose while they're driving. You're nervous. You know, people get stopped for running a red light. Can you imagine what it's like being told, get out of your car, and your wife or your family, your friends are in the car, and it's 2 o'clock, and the weather right now is really cold, so it's even, can I put on my jacket? No, we'll just...
Now I'm freezing cold, shivering. Yeah.
Or it could be windy.
Women in high heels, you know, men wearing, you know, shoes with holes in them, you know, whatever.
Men in high heels. Yeah. I mean, you never know what you're pulling
Frosty's
over.
Neighborhood.
Yeah, funny.
I'm sorry. So I did cut you off.
No, that's pretty much it.
I rambled on.
So the point is, of course, don't drink and drive. Call a cab. But if you are pulled over, call Top Gun DUI defense attorney Miles L. Berman at 888-4-TOP-GUN. That's the number 4.
Or go to his website for any questions you might have had we didn't get to today. And that's the website?
TopGunDUI.com.
Well, that was an easy one.
Yeah, I was
Top Gun.
Should I say www or not?
Nah.
I've been watching you guys drink too much.
We're out of beer. We need more.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me. Again, it's Miles with a Y.
Miles with a Y. Everybody be safe over the holidays, and if you happen to get in a little trouble, give Miles a call.
We wish everybody a safe and sober holiday weekend.
Here, a toast to Miles L. Berman.
Miles L. Berman.
I need another beer. I just chugged mine. Oh,
here, take mine.
Thank you, Miles.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Another beer?
Yes.
Right. It's almost the Thanksgiving holiday.
I feel very informed.
What are
now.
You thankful for, Frosty?
Oh, do we have time?
You're really thankful?
Yeah,
for
I was
stuff?
Like, we have all the time in the world.
Can I? Here's those things I hate people when they say. Can I just tell you something?
No.
Can I be honest with you? Can I level with you? Now, don't take this wrong. I'm a happy person. I'm a reasonably positive person. I don't walk around scowling.
Okay.
But as Thanksgiving shows up, no,
you just walk around lying to yourself.
You're delusional.
I don't know how to take that.
You scowl everywhere you go. You're not a happy person.
Well, I might have a scowl on, but I'm not scowling. My face, like Winston Churchill looked like he was scowling, but he wasn't.
You're saying he was a happy, jolly
guy?
Quite
drunk and quite high.
All right.
But anyway, I was thinking about this the other day as I was watching the commercials already for Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays. As the years go by and Thanksgiving shows up, I remember when I was younger, I had more to be thankful for than I do now.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I mean, I did. My family is dying off. They're getting old. My grandparents are all gone. My parents are old. Everyone's getting sick, and I'm getting old and achy, and I don't have...
Probably the last straw. They'll all die when they don't get a present this year. From rich Uncle Frosty.
So it's almost the point where when I do the I'm thankful stuff, it's almost cliche. Yeah, I'm thankful I'm in America, not Afghanistan. I'm thankful I didn't lose my legs on a landmine, blah, blah, blah. But other than that, I'm thankful I have a bed to sleep in, but so do people down at the Y. There's not a whole lot to
Oh, my God, Frosty. That is sad.
But he's happy,
But it's not like those of you who've started families and everything's going rosy and fine. That's not me. I'm not that guy. So I'm not really as thankful as I'd like to be. I'm just being honest.
You're glad you can pay your bills, right?
Yeah, but barely.
You're thankful that you have the means to pay your bills.
But yes, but there's no money left over anymore.
Want to hear something horrible?
Yes.
This happened in Florida. The parents of a 5-year-old adopted girl who has medical conditions that require a feeding tube and other electrically powered equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They were pleading with the power company, Gulf Power, to keep their power on despite a past due bill.
Oh.
Tony and Kathy Duncan are the parents of this adopted child, Michaela. And they say that she will die if the electricity is turned off. And they've had a conversation with the power company representative about the situation. And Tony Duncan chained himself to the meter outside the home in an attempt to prevent the power company from disconnecting the electricity.
He chained himself to the meter.
For love.
Okay. Really? Does he have a sword to fight the guy off with? I can't think I reach around.
Yeah, I just reach through him. Yeah. Well, they're not cutting the meter down.
I don't think you have to even be there to shut your power off. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How about you cut it off from the pole on the street?
Yeah, they can shut your power off without even stepping on your property.
I guess someone from the company phoned the family to say that they had until 11 a.m. Friday to pay the balance of the bill, which is nearly $2,000. They let it go by. I don't know what your monthly electrical bill is, but they let it go by a couple months. $2,000, and they're going to... Time to turn it off.
But
they got poor Michaela inside.
Oh, God.
Who's on machines that require electricity, and she's going to die.
They can't do that. Sad. That'd be murder.
Yeah, that's... You're right. That is murder.
Are they really responsible for it?
No, but their actions will cause a death, so that's involuntary. You can't do that.
I think you got to give them a pass on that.
You can't. There's got to be some sort of legal protection where if they shut your power off, you die. They're murdering you. So they better leave it on and find some way to have you make payments.
No, if I turn off the power, I have no idea what's going on in the house. I mean, if I turn off the power and your pet snake dies because his heat rocks off,
well, I'm sure
how's that my fault?
You don't know.
You didn't pay your bill. That's why the electricity is getting cut off.
I get it if you don't know what's going to happen. But if you know shutting the power off will kill the girl inside, you can't shut the power off.
Yes, I can.
You know it will cause a person to die.
Pay your electric bill.
Can't.
Why would you adopted a little girl who has these problems and you don't have any money to pay your electric bill? Sell something.
Yeah. Well, yes.
How about you go out and become a stripper?
Is it in the
find the money?
Is this in the paper because they're pleading for the public's help, or why is it in the paper just this year?
This woman, Kathy, says, "I don't know what we'll do if the power's turned off." She said that she cannot just put her daughter in a hospital because she is vulnerable to germs in those settings. A nightly nurse stays with Michaela. But Kathy Duncan said no nurse will continue to tend to the family without electricity, and they will not do it at a hotel either. Where are you getting money for a hotel?
Where are they getting money for a nurse?
And a nurse?
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you fire the nurse and take care of your own kid?
Right.
Were they poor when they adopted this kid?
A spokesman, I don't know. Seems like it. A spokesman for the power company, Jeff Rogers, said the family has not made payments since July, and that they were given a 35-day extension because of the medical situation. The parents, who are raising four other boys, were in the same predicament at this time last year. But after the news that the local media outlet highlighted the case, an anonymous donor covered the outstanding balance so the family could keep the power.
Oh.
And they're doing it again this year.
Oh,
well, look, don't say it like they're benefiting. They're not getting a new car out of it. They're not benefiting. They're just paying a bill.
A $2,000 bill?
Hang on a second here.
Because
let me say something that people are going to think I'm an a-hole. If you don't have money, you're not allowed to adopt children. Oh, not to say only wealthy people, but you have to at least prove that you can afford a child, especially a child with special needs.
I agree with that.
I mean, okay, we go, how much is it going to cost to raise this kid with special needs in the best case scenario? You can't just be adopted and not have any money.
I agree, but in this case, you got to look out for the kid's sake. God. They did adopt the kid. The kid is in there.
So how
will protect the kid?
The spokesman for the power company says that the Gulf Power would not be responsible for the child if the worst were to happen, because the parents should have notified their doctor or moved her to some place that has electricity. If they're going to leave her in the house and there's no power, then drive her someplace with a plug.
Well, they did have a month's notice, so that's kind of...
But they pulled it off last year. There's more to the story.
Okay, when we come back.
It's disturbing in so many ways. It's like almost like they adopted the child to get their electric bill paid.
Well, that seems like a long way to go.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Quite a hassle.
Okay, I'm thankful I'm not that kid inside. That's what I'm thankful for.
You're not little Michaela on a feeding tube.
Back top of the hour, we're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 97.1FMTalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.